This is the Community Forum, a public affairs presentation of the Montrose Broadcasting Corporation.
And we welcome you to the program. It's good to have you with us. We've taken the mic to the offices of State Representative Linda Schlegel-Culver today, and we are in Sunbury talking to her for an update on the issues facing the Commonwealth. And we appreciate you being with us, Representative Culver. Let's begin as we wrap up summer. We'll talk about the fall and school safety, but a quick question about summer. Something we probably noticed a lot more this summer was the use of fireworks, and the state did change the fireworks laws, and so a lot more of that stuff is legal now. What was the rationale behind that decision in the first place?
I think the rationale was, because it's not like we had a lot of people in the district asking for changes, was to capture the tax money that we were not collecting, because a lot of people were going to other states to bring in the bigger fireworks into Pennsylvania.
So it was other states were getting the action instead of us.
They were collecting the tax while they were still setting them off here in Pennsylvania. Since the new law's gone into effect, though, we've gotten some concerns from some municipalities that a lot of them are going off and maybe not in the safest fashion. So I look for us to have to take a look at that. Maybe increase some of the laws as far as safety issues goes, because there was concerns they were being set off too close to homes, and that what if, you know, a spark would land on a rooftop or something else. Then we're going to have a fire and we could have a catastrophe depending on how close the homes are. So there were some concerns about safety.
Yeah, certainly we've heard fireworks in the past, but nothing like this summer, and that obviously because of that change. Now, heading into school, that's a whole other topic, and school safety has been mentioned a lot this year in Harrisburg and nationally, of course. Give me some idea of what's in the works in that regard.
So we passed a couple of bills towards the end of session, and you know, they're working on some of the funding formulas, but one would be to allow the schools to apply for a grant. Every school would be eligible. But what I like most about it is the school gets to decide what are their safety concerns with input, you know, from the parents, from the students. So it's not a one-size-fits-all. Some schools have different safety measures already in place that other schools may not have. So if they need cameras or a resource officer, metal detectors when kids enter school, different things on their windows and doors, or the school gets to decide where is their biggest safety concern and how can we address that. Another one was a toll-free hotline set up, I believe, through the Attorney General's office, that if somebody is concerned about a student or their actions or anybody in the community, they can call into the toll-free number. And the other one was continuing to monitor school safety and continuing to react as we go forward. So it's something that'll be sort of in the forefront of everybody's minds and making adjustments as adjustments are needed, because, you know, society changes, buildings change, technology changes, to be able to keep up with that.
Okay. Is that hotline operating yet, or is that coming soon?
I'm not sure if the hotline is up and operating, but if it's not, it should be very soon. And they're going to be connected into, you know, local law enforcement, state police, you know, the DA's offices, the schools. It might be a better way of bringing some of this stuff to the forefront, because, you know, how many times do you see in the news people will say, oh, we knew this was going to happen. We're trying to stop the I knew this was going to happen and takes proactive steps.
Speaking of which, that reminds me of a resolution that you recently introduced and which was passed unanimously, and that was proclaiming this past July as Juvenile Idiopathic Arthritis Awareness Month. As some of our listeners know, my daughter deals with this condition, and I asked your office about it, and you were able to introduce that resolution. And personally, from us, we appreciate that, and from all the JIA families. But anything you can do to make more people aware is a good thing. So,
well, and I know, you know, people will carry on sometimes that we do resolutions. That's not important. You need to get down to the important work, but it is important because people need to know that it exists, that there's resources out there, and just a general knowledge of all these things. And I said, how do you pick what's important to somebody and what's not? So I think the resolutions are a good way for the public to become knowledgeable, and also a way to ask some questions and find out what resources are out there to help people.
And that's got to be one of the ways. I mean, as a representative, you're representing everybody, and that's a way to connect with them too, that you know, what are the needs in your district.
It's also a way to start conversation. And it's also a way for people to know they're not alone. Because some people will say, well, I'm the only one with this. And then they start to find out, oh, I'm not the only one with this. And, they can create a network of support.
We're coming up on an election time again. You're heading to your fifth term?
I am, okay. Yes.
I did the math before I came in. I thought I was trying to keep track of these things. The legislature right now, heavily Republican. I mean, I think record numbers at this point. Any thoughts on what a Republican governor could mean next year? How would that kind of change the picture in Harrisburg?
Well, I mean, with this election cycle, I don't think we're expected to keep as many seats in the Republican side as we have now. Governor Wolf definitely has his own set of priorities that would probably be different and are different from his opponent. And I think, you wouldn't see a push for a tax increase from probably a Republican governor at this point. And I believe that his opponent has said he wouldn't be wanting to look at taxes. He'd want to be looking at efficiencies first. I think you might see, the opioid crisis is and will remain here. So I think, the focus on that would continue. But I don't know. I mean, it'd be hard to tell until you would get somebody in there. Sometimes, the Republican side doesn't see eye to eye with Governor Wolf on issues. But there's time where we've worked very well on certain issues. And I think you're going to find that sometimes it's a personality difference, it's a belief difference, or it's a party difference. But overall, we really try, at least in the House, with large pieces of legislation, or big pieces, to have both a Republican and a Democrat co-sponsor on it to show the importance of it to Pennsylvania that we are working together.
And I don't know if it's the election year that people were not in the mood to be controversial, but this year the budget went through, everything in place, and before the date even.
It was. It was not just a surprise to everyone else, to us as well. I mean, we were told it would be on time. We were certainly moving in that direction. But it was even a shock. We'll debate the budget for a day or two or more on the floor. I think we had three people speak on it, all in agreement, and we moved forward from there. So it was nice to be able to get back in the district and get work done. And fortunately, we were here because we had a really busy summer with the flooding and the construction projects and some unforeseen things that happened with that.
Yeah, your district had a lot going on this summer, that's for sure.
It's been a busy summer.
Okay. And with the CSVT going through and the couple days of traffic backups because of that, that CSVT exists because of the bill several years ago, correct? I mean, mm-hmm. that's where that funding finally came from.
Yeah, Act 89. We passed it, and the project was part of it. It's the largest new construction project for the next decade in the state of Pennsylvania. And it's going to make a tremendous difference, I think, in both safety, the way traffic moves through the area, and for us, economic development that will be coming up. So one of our concerns now is getting the workforce ready for the economic development that will occur.
Okay. And the Shamokin Dam is part of your district, and that is in line to be basically cut in the middle by a connector from that. People have asked me, is that a done deal? Is that something we can change? Or is that just, there's no stopping that now?
It's my understanding that the Federal Highway Administration wanted this project done for safety reasons, to remove the volume of traffic out of our local communities, specifically Shamokin Dam Borough. The connector was put in as a response to the amount of traffic that uses Route 61 and Route 147. And I think a lot of times people mistake the people that come from Route 61 and 147 as only coming from Sunbury. That couldn't be further from the truth. And when you look at the data, and data is much easier to obtain today than it was 10, 15, 20 years ago with GPS. And I don't have the numbers in front of me, but there's a large number of through traffic coming in on Route 61 and 147 coming from the south up that are using that route. And I think that's probably evidenced by, if you notice the traffic patterns and the backups from everybody coming down 147, people needing to get, onto the bridge, get through Sunbury. We had backups up Market Street and some of the other streets because of the amount of traffic coming through. And that volume is only supposed to grow and increase through the next couple decades. So the issue by not having the connector is you're not helping the borough of Shamokin Dam or Northumberland Borough. Traffic will continue to go through there. And I think the purpose of it was to get traffic out of there. So we're being told at this point, data supports the Route 61 connector for that particular reason. And if I remember correctly, the connector is taking less land, less houses than the highway itself going through.
And that makes a lot more sense when you explain it than when I've heard engineers explain it. I think the average person on the street will understand what you're saying. But again, that all part of the CSVT, which is ongoing, and the most massive thing I've seen in my life.
It is the most massive thing I think we'll see in this area.
Yeah.
If you think about it, the bypass stopped in 1969 when federal monies dried up. I think it was the ICE-T monies. And the area has been working diligently since that time to get the project. And I have to credit Joe McGranahan for continuing to push with the project and the chambers behind him, knowing traffic was getting worse. I think they predicted by 2021, traffic on 11 and 15 would be like the Schuylkill Expressway. So that's concerning because the amount of accidents we were having were increasing, so it became a real safety issue.
It will be very interesting to see when that road is open and functioning how things are different on that that strip through Shamokin Dam and Hummel's Wharf and Sealands Grove. Our program last weekend was about minimum wage. That's been mentioned a lot nationally lately. Where do we stand in Pennsylvania on that? Is there any push to hike the minimum wage, and do you think it's a good idea?
And typically, we try to stay with the federal minimum wage. We don't try to go any higher. There's major concerns when you talk about raising minimum wage. As simple as it may sound, giving somebody a better wage, I don't think anybody argues with that point. A lot of businesses around here tell us the only time they really start anybody at minimum wage is if they're a high school or college student, and or they're on their probationary period, and every company's different, maybe 3 to 6 months. And then they're all mainly above minimum wage. The concern comes in is when we start raising it or we start monitoring it, instead of letting the marketplace monitor it, is small employers will tell us, we won't be able to afford it, so we'll have to go to more automation, or we'll have to cut back on our customer service. I think it could actually have a negative effect if we start reaching out on our own and doing that. And, you know, we polled fast food restaurants, you know, smaller restaurants, some industry, but a lot of them aren't paying a minimum wage anymore. A lot of them are above that. And right now, this is an employee market where everywhere you go, everyone's looking for employees. And if you've heard any of the radio advertisements, you know, you get 2 weeks on your first day, you're above minimum wage, you get off for hunting, we have a family picnic. I mean, they're doing everything they can to entice people. So a lot of people aren't making minimum wage anymore. If it comes up before us, I would give it my utmost consideration. But I don't know that it'll come before the House. The federal government may make a change, and then the House would follow suit, or the state would follow suit.
Okay. And certainly you could, how much you increase it would make a difference as well. I mean, you could go to $20, and that would, a lot more people would get off the train for that.
They might. I mean, they definitely might, right?
An interesting piece of legislation I noticed had passed this previous session was one that outlaws credit card skimming, which for folks not familiar, a device that is put into an ATM in which they are able to retrieve later and retrieve your information and a lot of people's information along with it. That kind of piqued my interest because I thought, how can this not be illegal already?
You notice over the last couple of years, we've had to do updates to like the banking and credit union laws. Because technology has changed so much in, you know, 20 years really changed, even the last 10. This wasn't an issue previously. I don't know that the law currently adequately was addressing it. So now we've made it a point to address it. I don't know if it was the law enforcement community were asking us to pass this, and it made complete sense to us. I mean, sometimes you have to keep up with the changes in technology and society, and this was one of those bills.
Speaking of technology and how things develop and change, there have been security breaches into state government in the past year, several departments affected, And that's always a growing concern. What's going on in that regard in Harrisburg right now through the legislature?
You know, it's hard to keep up with people who are very bright, very technology savvy, and choose to use it not for the greater good. And I would probably say, different from, you know, big corporations or tech companies or hospitals even, we probably aren't making the same investments that they do, or probably keeping up as well because of the cost. And ultimately, the cost goes back to the taxpayer. We are going to have to look at it. And, you know, we have urged, instead of doing, you know, software department by department and everybody bidding out, maybe we go to one specific large, you know, technology company that can handle the state, because we've also talked about interfacing departments. When somebody's coming for services or somebody's abusing services, it's much easier to keep track of that. And then in the end, saving taxpayers money. So I think you'll probably see this become a bigger topic over the next session.
As the new session gets underway, what would you say is going to be the big the big topic, the big thing you guys are going to have to tackle?
Depends on what we get finished this year. So it's hard for us to talk about that. I mean, some of the bigger issues are moms demand action. I want to see some changes in the laws, you know, for PFAs and people having their guns. I anticipate us finishing that this fall, but of course, I don't have a crystal ball and I'm not in leadership, so I can't make that, you know, final call. But I think that's what we're going to work on this fall, and we're talking about the statute of limitations on, you know, sexual abuse from children. I think going from 30 or 35 years up to 50 years now of age before the statute of limitation runs out. I would think, in response to the grand jury report and some of the other things, we'll probably get that done this particular year.
State Representative Linda Schlegel-Culver has been our guest today on the WPGM Community Forum. We appreciate her joining us to talk about the various issues facing the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania and its citizens. Thanks for being with us on the program.
This has been a presentation of the Montrose Broadcasting Corporation. The views expressed on the Community Forum by our guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the moderator, staff, or management of this station.